Saving money on your next project now at Menards. Menards is the leading supplier of quality roof and floor trusses. Choose from our large selection of residential and post-frame trusses or design custom trusses specifically for your project. Get started on your building project today, in-store or on Menards.com. Plus, view our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. It's John and Lance.
Drunk and stabbed. That's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. Cleaning it up. Jalen Ramsey was in the last year of his deal. When he wouldn't play for him anymore.
Yeah, I didn't think there was that much time.
Dante Fowler was in the last year of his deal when he wouldn't play for him anymore.
Yeah, this is pretty unheard of that a guy who just got a contract
just signed a contract and didn't play another down.
And then they
didn't play another down.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was unheard of, and it was bad at the time. But there was so much negativity toward the Texans that I'd say a strong majority of the fans were like kind of in Deshaun's favor, even though that meant that he would leave. It was a weird time. It was a weird time for the Texans. Boy, it was pretty awful.
It was actually, and Cal was in the crosshairs. And I don't know that I've ever seen a flip of popularity like Cal.
Yeah.
Anything that they posted, the Texans posted, was met with derision and sell the team. And
for him and for Easterby at first when he was
knowledge is power.
All of that. And Hannah turned all that around.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, Hannah turned all that around.
Yeah, and winning. And D'Amico winning.
Yeah.
They
finally hired someone that was competent as opposed to the previous two.
Yeah. You could have been flipping burgers and being a nice guy all you wanted, but if you were losing, he'd still be getting cracked in the comment section.
That's true. But he has done a 180 on his public relations.
That's great. It means they're winning. And, you know, Cal seems like a really nice guy. Just he seemed way over his head dealing with Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. Like way in over his head. Those guys were brutal. I mean, you had to really – there was no one in the building that didn't seem like to stand up to those two. And then eventually those two started clashing, and that's when it all fell apart. Mentioned that the Astros are in Chicago, so they've won 4 of their last 10. So the Astros are still 4-6 in their last 10. They just happen to have a sweep of the Miami Marlins. They're coming off that sweep at home, which got them back in the mix. So they're still 4 games behind 500. But – you're in Chicago for the next 3. Tonight you've got Spencer Arrighetti. Then tomorrow is going to be on Saturday. You got Hunter Brown. And then Sunday you're going Ronel Blanco. So Blanco is officially in the rotation. So Blanco is going to get that Sunday afternoon start. And that one's on ESPN. So what do you think? You've got Spencer Arrighetti matching up against Davis Martin, who's 9-5 with a 331. He's been rock solid the whole year for them. You've got Hunter Brown, who we have seen just poor performances. The last 3 starts have not been good. You got Sean Burke, kind of the same thing, 7-4 with a 320. His whip is 113. So pretty damn skippy there.
White Sox are a pretty good team.
Yeah, they are a pretty good team. And you got Ronel Blanco taking on Eric Fetty, and that's and he's the one that one. If Blanco plays well, you got a real shot to win that one. He's been a pretty average pitcher, but your pitchers have been pretty average as well. Blanco's making his second full time start. You got Arrighetti, who hasn't proven that he has gotten past all the funk yet, and then 3 straight suspect starts for Hunter Brown.
Something's wrong with Hunter.
Yeah, something's up with Hunter.
Yep.
Sums up with Hunter. More walks and strikeouts in his last 3. That's just unheard of.
Yeah. It just is not. I mean, this whole season has been, from the start, this whole season has been just an odyssey for him. It's just weird. Just weird. So he's got to. No, it's and it's time to turn it around. I mean, Amai has shown that he can throw. He's got great stuff sometimes, and then he gets lit up. Arrighetti was great and then sucked. Lambert's been your most most consistent guy.
I'll tell you what, Sean Burke, looking at Sean Burke who goes up against Hunter Brown, man, this dude has been on a little bit of a roll. In his last several starts, working backwards, 6 2/3 innings, no earned runs. 7 innings, 1 earned run. 6 innings, 1 earned run. 5 1/3, 2 earned runs. 6 1/3, 1 earned run. 7 1/3, 1 earned run. That's what his last 6 look like. Though that's been, he took his ERA from a 3.99 down to a 3.20. That's the kind of run he's been on.
I need that run in my life.
Yeah, I know. 2 wins have been against Cleveland, 1 against Toronto, 1 against Baltimore, 1 against the A's, and 1 against the Yankees.
We don't need that.
Nah, not really.
Oh, I don't. Not really. So let's. Well, that's tomorrow. We got today.
Yeah, today. We got Spencer Urquidy. You got a fade.
Who needs right tomorrow? Now. All right. Let's make it last. Let's find a way.
Urquidy, please. I know you're singing. I know what song that is. You're not sneaking up on me.
What are you talking about?
We got tonight, babe.
Why don't you stay?
Who is that? Is that Cocker? Joe Cocker?
No.
Who is it?
Bob Seger.
Bob Seger. Yeah, I always get those two mixed up.
You get Joe Cocker and Bob Seger mixed up. Okay.
Against the wind. We're still running against the wind.
Joe Cocker, one of yours theme?
No. Joe Cocker is English, isn't he?
He's not the one who has. Who's the guy behind the Wonder Years? Not their theme song, but the song that opens up the Wonder Years.
Oh, no.
I can't remember that song. What is that song? How's the song go?
I got
that's
Nah, I gotta remember. What is?
What is love?
No,
that, is it like that?
No,
is that Joe Cocker?
I completely off with that. From my point of view, with a little help from my friends, who's the Joe Cocker.
It is
Joe Cocker.
Yeah, come on, you made me doubt myself. I knew I had that one.
It used to be the beginning of sitcoms, like the music from there, the theme songs, and a lot of times they weren't even songs you hear on the radio. Those songs were bangers. Like you knew about those. Those were true earworms. Where you'd hear those songs. I don't know, what would we do, babe? There's a moonlighting theme remember that show Moonlight with Al Jarreau sang that? Like the songs for those, Gilligan, you can go all the way back to when you were a little kid with Gilligan's Island, the Brady Bunch. You knew all those songs. I used to have a CD that had all of the songs from, it was like sold as a CD where you had all the intro songs for all the different sitcoms and cartoons and things like that. Now, I don't know songs to... This is what I know. There's no words.
You know that right away.
But you know it right away. Or... Oh, I'm trying to remember how it goes. The Succession. Because that was another one where Succession has a very, very distinct... Succession, you know Succession all the time when that comes on. The rest of them... I don't know. I don't watch network television anymore. Just, I don't have any shows I watch on the network. None. So I don't know those intro songs anymore. I do know this. I saw something on ESPN.
You can't start another because in 5 minutes we've got
Roflow
joining us.
So, all right, we'll break it.
Yeah, we got to break it here so that we can get to Roflow on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Bringing in a friend of the show, a Houstonian, a national celebrity. You can see him every day, 10 o'clock. And there's nothing else to do in the city of Houston at 10 o'clock other than watch Roflow. His show airs Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Houston time. Tune into MLB Network for continuing coverage of the trade deadline August 3rd. Robert Flores joining us here to talk what's going on with our Astros this trade deadline and this season. Roflow, welcome to the show. What's up?
How you doing, guys? You know, I would much rather hear the rest of the Joe Cocker song instead of hearing from me. So, yeah, thank you. Now, I'm just going to lay out my layout for the next 2.5.
We were just talking about the Wonder Years. And that's what that's how that came.
Was that such a great show?
Yeah.
Golly. Boy, such a great show.
And we were talking about how we used to know every theme song, Roflo. I know you did too, Robert. When there were theme songs to a cartoon, theme songs to a comedy show, theme song, theme songs to network television, you always knew those songs.
Yeah.
Well, they don't. In part, they don't have theme songs for. Well, the main reason is cost. They don't want to pay to play a theme song. The cost, you know, to pay the writers, et cetera, publishing, but also time. They want to squeeze in more commercials, and a theme song takes up too much time.
I didn't think about that. That's probably right.
Nobody wants to pay for anything anymore. It's just it's just horrible, horrible. Exactly. Well, what's been not great this year, Robert, is the Astros, and yet here they are, just two games out of first place, playing the White Sox this weekend with the trade deadline looming. There's been a lot of talk how they could change the entire trade deadline if they put their guys out there, but that's not their MO. Jim Crane doesn't trade. He doesn't trade away. He trades for. What are you expecting out of the Astros this trade deadline?
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't see them selling, and you're right. We've talked at length on our show, Mark DeRosa especially, one of my co-hosts especially, has talked about the Astros could reset their franchise for the next decade if they decided to sell Jeremy Pena, Josh Hader, Isak Paredes. You could get a haul for them, and of course, the big fella, Yordan Alvarez. But that, to your point, that's not what this franchise is about. That is not Jim Crane's MO. So I would be stunned if that is the direction they go. I imagine they're going to try to add. For me, it's all about starting pitching. Can they fortify, bolster the rotation? Because that has been the big bugaboo. Really for the entire season.
That and the outfield hitting, it's been awful, awful, awful. Yeah. And he's been saying he's been trying to get that. He just hasn't been able to get that done. But Spencer Arrighetti is pitcher of the month, and then he's awful. Hunter Brown is not Hunter Brown. We can't explain. You can't explain what's going on this year with the pitching. Peter Lambert's been your best guy.
Yeah, and that is remarkable. And we detailed and highlighted Peter Lambert. By the way, when Lambert and Arrighetti are going and they call him Lambert-Getty, I love that. but the Getty part of that duo, as you said, has kind of fallen back to the pack a little bit. But Peter Lambert's a guy, remember, he did not make this team out of spring training.
Right.
And really, I believe he was available for all 29 other teams to be picked up. Luckily for the Astros, that did not happen because he has been their most consistent starter, and really I don't think it's been close. So that being said, they are still in the postseason mix in what is a very mediocre, unpredictable American League. So that's why, look, we've seen strange things happen. So if you could just get in, so I don't blame Jim Crane or Dana Brown for wanting to add, because when you look at the landscape of the American League, the Astros could make a case, hey, why not us? So I understand why they're wanting to go for it.
I just worry that there's going to be so much. And just the way you positioned it a while ago about how you could reset your club for a decade. I mean, it was so great to have this run with Houston Astros baseball. So great to grow up with the team, along with the team, your fandom grow with that same group of guys. And it's so infectious. I mean, it was so infectious for the city.
It was the best.
And you've got an opportunity to do that, but it takes some short-term pain. And, of course, your evaluations have to be good. Let's not forget that. You still have to evaluate properly. But we're talking about the level of players we're talking about, Robert. The players you get back are kind of vetted in a way. I mean, we're talking about the highest level prospects for teams. Yeah. And ironically, if you do your homework, the Dodgers, ironically, offer an absolute haul of prospects, especially outfield prospects and a really good shortstop in a minor league system as well.
Well, if you're throwing out, I think Yordan Alvarez is obviously the most attractive trade piece. And again, I do not see this happening. But if you're making Yordan Alvarez available, let's say, and again, I don't think it happens, especially to a team like the Yankees. I don't think Jim Crane and Dana Brown have an appetite to deal with the Yankees. But just say, for the sake of argument, hey, Yordan to the Yankees, what could you expect in return? Well, George Lombard Jr., their top prospect, he's part of the package. Spencer Jones, who's been billed as the left-handed Aaron Judge, he's part of the package. And that's just part. Maybe someone like Will Warren returns in the package. So, again, you could reset. The Astros could reset this franchise for the next decade and be ready to go. Yes, there's the short-term pain of seeing some all-time greats walk out the door. But, again, that's not the way this franchise works, and that's not the way this owner thinks.
We got Robert Flores from MLB Network, 10 o'clock Monday through Friday, as we hit the trade deadline. So if you want to get the latest and what's going on, watch him at 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. You mentioned Yordan. I saw Mark DeRosa break down Yordan. He says he's a combination of Freddie Freeman, who will go the other way. I want to hit the ball over the shortstop's head every time, and Big Poppy. And I thought that was a great. Yep. Is that dead on or no?
No, I thought it was great. D-Row, I think that's what makes him one of the most unique analysts I've ever worked with. He's got a real feel for breaking down the game in a digestible form for viewers or people that have not played the game at the highest level, or maybe don't even know the game the way the professionals and those within the industry. So he compared Big Poppy, the power of Big Poppy, with the approach and philosophy of Freddie Freeman. So I thought it was, like you said, I thought it was spot on. I think Yordan Alvarez, this is his MVP to win. I barring something unusual, he's going to win the MVP in the American League. And I don't think it's close right now. He is just having one of those seasons where every time he steps into the plate, you're almost surprised that he doesn't come through with a hit or he doesn't come up with a big home run. When he hit that home run against Sandy, I wasn't shocked. I still blurted out, holy bleep, while I was watching it in my home, but it's just remarkable what he's done. And the other thing that I like about him, I saw recently in an article on MLB.com that Brian McTaggart wrote, that he said, you know what, guys, I'm not talking about the Triple Crown anymore. We got too much baseball left. So I appreciate that about him. In an age where we know everything about everyone and we hear from people all the time, there is that shroud of mystery around Yordan Alvarez. It's part of his mystique, and I think he's one of the most remarkable players in the game right now, and he's going to go down as one of the greatest Astros in the history of the franchise.
Why would you pitch to him? Why would McCullough throw to him in the eighth? I know you can't put Pena on second.
Yeah.
I guess you can't. Well, if Barry Bonds could be walked with the bases loaded, then why would you throw to Yordan in the eighth inning of a tie game?
Well, yeah, and look, I certainly understand that point of view, but I also think that we underestimate how difficult it is to pitch around hitters like Yordan. And again, they don't want to just put him on because you're putting, what was Pena at first, or I don't recall.
Pena was on first. Yeah, he was on first. Yeah.
Yeah. So that means you're putting the go ahead run in scoring position, and don't sleep on Isak Paredes. I think he's been at times this year. He's been very, very effective, and we saw that a couple of nights ago when he went deep right after Yordan. So I think they were in a difficult position. The Marlins were made even more difficult by Yordan's greatness.
Paredes, I'd forgotten he was part of the Kyle Tucker deal. And one of the things Dana Brown could do is move Paredes. If you did nothing else, if you moved Paredes, which it hurts you. I mean, he's been, as you mentioned, I mean, he's been a quality player for you this year. But if you moved him, that's an extension of that Tucker trade. So then the Tucker trade brings you back maybe two more prospects because of the Paredes deal. You still have a young Cam Smith who you're still trying to grow and nurture and develop. You know, it could be one of those things where you try to make the Tucker trade bear even more fruit than just, you know, Paredes.
Yeah, I think if you're asking me percentages, I would put the percentage of Isak Paredes getting traded at this year's deadline at 20 to 25%.
Yeah, I agree.
I would be very surprised. I wouldn't be shocked and blown over, but I would be very surprised. And I'm glad you bring up the Kyle Tucker trade, because Dana Brown is, look, it's the nature of the beast of the position he's in. He gets a lot of criticism. I read the social comments, you know, the comments on social media from people that, you know, have won maybe a fantasy baseball title in their life, and they think that they can run the Astros. So I think that he's made some very important moves, and there's some things that he's done that hasn't worked out. Mike Burrows is top of the list for me right there. But there's some other things that he's done. And think about the Kyle Tucker trade, to your point. You get Isak Paredes, who's been very good. And I think Cam Smith has a chance to be an all-star down the road. So he's got his work cut out for him, because the Astros are in a very unique position. How much longer can these core players be a part of the franchise? How much longer can they be successful together? And he's also working for an owner that has said, hey, basically the window's open as long as I'm here.
Yeah. Well, the pitching acquisitions this offseason, even, you know, we talked about Peter Lambert. They let him go at 29 other teams. Now, Peter Lambert's resume was terrible with Colorado, and then in Asia was no good either. But so there's a reason that people – but the all the other acquisitions that he made – this offseason have not worked out at all. He's a lame duck guy. We don't see this too often. He and Joe Espada both lame duck. How do you handle that, a lame duck general manager at trade deadline? Do you let him? Because he's worried about one thing. Well, maybe not one thing. Keeping his job, though, has got to be near the top of the list.
Yeah, I don't know Dana Brown very well, but I know him a little bit, and I know him to be a professional, a pro. So he's going to do what's best for this franchise. And I don't think that his personal situation is going to be at the forefront. I think he's going to make the best moves possible. He looks at the standings. He knows what's at stake here. He knows that the American League, as we said, is particularly wide open. There's not a dominant team. Now, am I ready to say here on, what's today's date? July, late July here, that the Astros are a World Series contender? No, not right now. But let's say you get Foster Griffin from the Washington Nationals, who's on a one-year deal, who has been fantastic. Let's say you get him in. Let's say Hunter Brown turns it around. Let's say Tatsuya Imai continues to make strides. And then you add someone like Mickey Moniak or J.J. Bleda or Jake McCarthy to help the outfield. And Yordan continues his MVP run. Who's not to say that a couple of moves here or there doesn't get this team over the top in the division? Will that be enough to beat the Dodgers or any other team in the National League? I don't know. But it could be good enough to make a deep run in the American League. I do know that.
Yeah. No, I think the American League, as you said, the American League's wide open. It just has not been. It hasn't been, and which is, the All-Star game was incredible. The American League has just gotten there. It handed to them all interleague, and then they beat them 4-0 in the All-Star game, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just weird. But two games out of, I mean, what do you guys, are you even talking about the American League West, are you guys, because it's so.
All the time.
It's been so bad.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about it. It's good for TV because it seemingly changes on a daily or weekly basis. Right now, the Rangers are the leaders of the division, and they're at 500. The Mariners are a half game back, and they're one game below 500. I don't believe in the A's, and I'm certainly not buying the Angels. I think that they're going to be massive sellers at the deadline. The A's are talking about trading Shea Langeliers because he doesn't want to sign an extension. So for me, it's a three-team race as far as the division title goes. And right now, I'm giving the edge to the Mariners because I believe in their starting rotation. Their starting rotation is by far the best in this division, and it might be the best in the American League. But for whatever reason, Cal Raleigh's struggling. Yeah. I think that's a big part of it. Offensively, they just have been wildly inconsistent. It has not come together. But I still believe that the Mariners have the inside track to winning this division.
How do you explain Cal Raleigh this year? He should have shook hands. He should have shook hands during the World Baseball Classic.
Hey, that's just baseball, man. You know, he just had a magical run last year, 60-plus homers as a catcher. And then he came out struggling, and then he got hurt. So it's a cruel, unusual game for sure.
Absolutely. Well, that's Robert Flores. We appreciate him. He is MLB Central. Airs Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Houston time. Tune in to MLB Network for continuing coverage of the trade deadline, which is August 3rd, and Roflow is in the middle of it. Great stuff, as always. Go Astros. We appreciate you, Robert. Thanks for hanging with us. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Anytime. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right. There's Robert Flores, Houstonian, right here on ESPN. Big time celebrity joining us right here on ESPN 97.5. Time to talk about Brinkman. All right. 281-RROF. What is it? No, I don't know what it is. It's not RROF. It's spelled roof. ROOF. For everybody out there that doesn't know how to spell roof. Okay. We got to stop with this. Stop with this stuff already because it's ridiculous. It's RROOF. 281-480-ROOF. 281-480. Not, it's 7663, which spells roof, everybody. Just so you know. It's got a lot of play. Jason's gotten a lot of play out of it. Here's the thing about a roof, okay? Is you just don't even think about it. You don't. You don't think about your roof. You don't care about your roof. You're not up there. But I want to tell you this. Go walk away from your house and see what your roof looks like, okay? Because if it's shiny, you got problems, pal. You got problems. If your black roof is shiny, that means those shingles are old. That means if anything happens, guess what? Insurance company ain't paying you. And oh, by the way, if you know your insurance is up, they're going to say, hey, no, we can't insure this roof. You know what you need? You need Brinkman. You don't let somebody who knocks on your door get up on your roof. First of all, they're going to screw it up. Secondly, they don't know how to deal with the insurance company, like a company that's been doing this for 50 years. Do not let a guy talk to your insurance company that just knocked on your door. And by the way, they won't be around. Jason Brinkman and Brinkman, the Brinkmans are going to be around. They've been around for 50 years, which means they're accountable. Okay? They'll be there. If anything is wrong with that roof, they will fix it. Brinkman Quality, all right? BrinkmanQuality.com. You have any kind of roof issue, doesn't matter, business or personal, whatever the case may be, BrinkmanQuality.com. 100% financing available to free, no obligation estimates. 281-480-ROOF, 281-480-7663.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Yeah, agreed with everything Roflo said there. I mean, the Astros are not going to trade anybody. They're not.
They're not sellers.
They're just not. Now, when you're two games,
then
out,
there will be sellers' remorse. There will be non-sellers' remorse at the end of the year. Like, golly, wish you would have done something. Like, oh well, is what it is.
No,
run it out.
They're gonna. Well, if they make the World Series again, then you're going to say that.
Yeah, it's funny. You're a funny guy.
I'm not a funny guy. I'm not trying to be. Do I amuse you?
You put up 100.
You
I'll
think
give
I'm
you
a clown?
I'll give you 10-1 right now if they make it to the World Series.
What?
I'll give you 10-1, but you got to post $100.
That they make the World Series.
10-1, they don't make the World Series. You don't even have to win it. You just have to get there.
10-1. That's not bad, huh?
It's not bad. You have to post 100. Send it to me, and you'll get 1,000 if they get to the World Series.
I don't know that they're.
Yeah, that's not really what you want to do. You don't want to do that.
I don't know.
You don't want to do that.
I don't know. 10-1. Let me see what. Let me look first and see what they are.
Look. Don't look at the Astros stats, though, because you won't like it.
Odds Astros make World Series. Let me see. I might be able to get better than that.
You can get better than that.
Yeah,
because
I can.
It's not possible. They're not making the World Series. You're just wasting our time with this goofiness. This team can't make a World Series. We're just going to sit there and try to win a division, that's fine. If that's your goal is to try to win a division and get in the playoffs, that's fine. They've done that the last, they've been in the playoffs, not last year, but previously, and gotten run out of the playoffs. I mean, it's just frustrating to me. I'm frustrated with the Astros like I was frustrated with the Texans, where I saw what was happening under O'Brien and Jack Easterby, and there's nothing I could do about it. Like, I knew what they should do, but they were just going to keep doing terrible, stupid stuff, and there's nothing you could do. It's not that bad with the Astros. It's not like they're incompetent. They're not incompetent. They've got smart people there. It's just that they don't have their methodology is that they let people walk who are good players. They don't get anything in return. This is not the first team that let the best players walk, but usually those teams in the past have traded players before they were able to walk, and then they benefit. It's like trading in a used car. You're just leasing players right now. You have nothing at the end of this lease other than a draft pick. You get a cool draft pick. But if you're trading in a used car, you've got equity in it. You have no equity in these players. I don't know. It's just not smart to me to continue doing it. I understood doing it for a long time, but we've reached that point of no return where you no longer are capable of competing at the highest level.
Right now they're 25-1.
Yeah, to make it.
To make the World Series.
Yeah.
75 to win the World Series.
Yeah.
So, no, I get better odds on...
Yeah, absolutely. I was giving you short odds.
Short odds.
Why would
terrible.
I not?
Those are terrible odds.
Well, I'm just saying, if you want it, I'm giving it to you.
Well, no, I don't want it when I can get 25. That's stupid.
Why can you get 25?
Because Vegas doesn't know anything.
Because Vegas, who's terrible with money, that's what they're known for.
Sometimes they're wrong and they pay big odds. I don't know if you heard.
You're not serious about this. Unless we can have a serious Astros conversation, I'm done. This fake thing like you think the Astros have a chance is terrible.
It's
terrible.
Like, listen.
They can get to the World Series. No, they can't. Be for real.
You're being negative.
Yeah.
No, I'm
saying.
Well,
first of all.
We should rebuild this thing.
Wait a minute. So they couldn't beat Tampa or the Yankees White Sox?
Find a way to rebuild.
No, wait a minute. Honestly, the American League is wide open.
Team is not a good team. You're playing
it's
against
the league's
league,
not a good league.
But you're playing against the league. I'm playing the Astros. How good are the Astros? The goal is to get the best team you can have. And this is not even remotely close. We've seen what good teams look like. I don't care what's around them. They're not good. They're one of the ones that aren't good. They're still under 500 by four games. I mean, they haven't been over 500 in forever. Even when they take a step up, they take big steps back. It continues to happen. They've told you who they are over 100 games. We're not at 100 yet, but we're coming up on it.
No, you are. It's 104.
Oh, no, yeah, that's right. We're up over 100. We're up over 100 games. I mean, I feel like they've told you who they are. But if you don't want to believe it, that's fine.
Yeah, that they're right there, two games out of 500.
Okay, that's fine. That's
with 2 months.
Great. They got to win four straight games.
With 2 months left in the season.
What? That's the goal, is to get to 500?
No, the goal is to win a division, get in, and let's see what happens.
About 500.
Mm-hmm.
No, I know. You're playing the same game the Astros are playing. Your game is also going to lead to their demise into what we're headed into. That's fine. Listen, that's the way this is going to be. It's just I'm just telling you my own personal frustration is you can see what's going to happen if you game this thing out, but that's fine. You're right. They're going to do that, and you want them to do that. You don't want them to trade anybody. The Astros don't want to trade anybody, and that's fine. Most of the fans don't. It's just that you're not going to be happy in a couple of years when Jeremy's gone and Hunter Brown are gone, and you literally, unless your minor league system somehow blows up, which at this point you have two in the top, you don't even have one in the top 50. You've got two in the top 100, the minor league system. So I don't know where it's coming from. I'm just saying, this is, you have to learn that where do you stock your team from? But play it out. By all means, I get it. Play it out. It's just frustrating for me because I know where this is headed. I mean, it's headed in a very obvious direction because you don't have minor league talent. So, you know, let's just keep doing this. We've done it starting after the 17 World Series. Well, actually, I'm sorry. After 19 is when it started. After 19 is when it started when George left. And then every year after, we've lost players. And we're four games under 500 right now. And it's like, oh, they're almost 500. That's who we are now. You know, that's who we are. And some of the players that you thought were going to be good are done. Christian Javier appears to be done. You know, Jose Altuve is aging quickly, unfortunately. That looks like it may be a trend and not a blip on the radar, not just a slow. That might end up being a trend based on how long he's played. I hope not, but I don't know. They're not trading anybody. We might as well not talk about it. And if they add a bat, it probably won't be a substantial player, so you won't have to give up a whole lot. So I'm not too worried about that. Like, they're not going to give up top players in their prospects. I mean, top prospects in their system. So I'm not really worried about that. They're not going to do that. But they may add an inconsequential bat, and that's fine. And maybe they even get into the playoffs. Okay. I mean, if they're a really competitive unit, then great. If they can get to the World Series, fantastic. But it would take, I don't know what it would take. It would take Spencer Arrighetti. I guess he's had two good months as an Astro during his time. Is that what you found, Del? Was it two good months? His entire time as an Astro, he's had two good months, right? Very good months.
Yeah.
So if he can somehow become that, if Hunter Brown can get back to whatever he's got going on, I don't know what's going on with him. I hope it's not physical. His last three starts have been terrible. This guy hasn't looked like that over a three-game stretch since. You got to go all the way back to when he was.
Since he found his sinker.
Yeah, that's right. It was the sinker. He changed pitches. Mm-hmm. He changed what he was throwing. It's been all the way since then where Hunter Brown has looked like this. And to be fair, this is, well, no, it's not good. It's not good. It doesn't make sense for him to have more walks and strikeouts over a three-game run, ever. That this doesn't make any sense. There's a lot of walks for the Astros this year. Tremendous amount of walks. That's why those whip numbers are so high this year. I mean, they're really high. I don't know. I'm frustrated with the Astros. I don't see a way ahead to get better. I don't see this becoming a really good American League team again. If somebody can point me in that direction, that's fine. But I don't see a path forward.
We chase the fight.
You're such a... You truly are a disgusting person.
It was a disgusting performance.
713-780-3776. There is more to life than Astros baseball. What about poor Nick Skarton? The Aggie.
Yeah.
I mean, first day of training camp, carted off with a knee injury.
Yeah, people get excited about football, but here's the other side of it. You're just sitting home, and you get an update from your local beat reporter and a player that you were counting on out for the year. That's part of this time of the year, too.
It's the worst feeling.
Where you're hoping, your guy's carted off, you're hoping it's precautionary, and then you have to wait a couple hours for the official announcement. So the Panthers,
but you know what's coming.
But you know what's coming. This
when they're carted off, it's like an 80%.
And you're hoping because you didn't see. Maybe he walked to the cart and then got driven into the facility. That's part of this time of year. We forget about it, but it's going to happen. We're gonna hear some news and just hope it's not as bad as it sounds.
Have y'all seen what's happening with Gabe Hakus? With the New England Patriots, they traded draft picks to trade up and get the edge from Illinois, and he still hasn't signed. Albert Breer joined Early Edition and said the Hakus situation is trending in an uncomfortable direction. quote, rookies generally do show up when they're not signed in the spring. That's normal. And he didn't do that. When you aren't signed and it starts and it's the start of training camp and you don't show up, this moves to another stage, and I think you're inching closer to the idea that maybe this winds up being a redshirt year. Now, this is a second-round pick who they traded picks to be able to move up and get their hands on him. For him to miss not just the on-field time but the classroom time in the spring, and now this is still unsettled going into training camp, it would indicate that it's only going to get harder for him to contribute as a rookie. And that's true. But I got to say, one of the issues from what I've read is that they don't want – now, this is a guy with a little bit of an injury background, an injury history in college. They're not giving him – there's some type of there's something that you give a guy. I can't remember what it's called. But they've got a name for players who haven't signed their deals so that they can participate in spring. It's almost like an insurance against being injured. And the Patriots aren't offering him that. If I'm his agent – and you're going to have him practicing in the spring, and if there's language that allows him to be protected while he practices and goes through all that despite not having a deal done, and these deals not getting done, they're slotted. So I don't really know what's going on here. I'm not sure why this is so hard to get a deal done. But it's I'd be a little concerned, too, if I were his agent, and you don't want to give me something – you don't want to give me some type of sign that you're going to protect my player – despite the fact that he hasn't been injured, if there's a mechanism in place that you can put out there that would protect him financially in case of an injury, like what happened to Nick Skirton, I don't know. I wouldn't be super crazy about my player going out there either. But I do know that if you're not practicing and you're a rookie and you're not in the classroom, you're not taking any mental reps or physical reps, that's highly unlikely that guy's going to factor in this year. Highly unlikely.
News out of New York, Malik Nabers will not be on the PUP list. It's going to be funny to see, and from a fantasy point of view, what do you think about Malik Nabers?
I don't know. He had to have a second surgery. I mean, that's how bad is, and he was kind of in the OTAs, he was noticeably not 100%. So that's a concern. That's a concern. Now, if I'm drafting, which we do at the end of the preseason, I think we'll have better answers then. But for those who draft right now, and there's a lot of leagues right now who are drafting, and you got to take a shot. He's so talented. He's so talented, man, I'd take a shot. If he started getting discounted in a league where he dropped a full round, I'm taking Malik Nabers. If it's a keeper league, for sure. If it's a redraft league, which means you throw everyone in the hopper every year, still, Malik Nabers.
Yeah, but he's not a first rounder anymore. I mean, not with this injury.
No, but he's probably a second, I would think.
Yeah,
I would think. But
he's a risk. It's a risk reward.
Right
though.
Now it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now it is. You're just assuming he's going to be better. Somebody who's not going to be better is Diego Pavia.
Nope.
He was waived. That was always a very. He went to the Ravens. They already had three quarterbacks on the roster. He was the fourth. I really wondered if his agent just didn't have many offers, because that didn't seem like the best spot for him. But he was waived before they even got into camp. I wonder if he was being a pain in the ass or if they just thought, man, this guy can't play.
He can't. He can't do it.
Well, they had to. So they brought in Ethan Posich, who is longtime NFL offensive lineman out of LSU. And so they brought him in. So they needed a spot in the roster. They got rid of a fourth quarterback. That makes sense.
Yeah.
We'll see where he lands, though. Because there's not going to be a heavy market for a 5'10" quarterback with attitude, so we'll see where he ends up.
Who's going to be
could end up playing for Paraguay?
Who's going to be wide receiver one? Who's going to be wide receiver one for the Cardinals?
These are all questions.
Harrison or Michael Wilson?
That's a question that can be answered when we come back from break.
When we come back,
we got calls too.
That as well.
Oh, we got all that. We got all that going on, but right now I got IBEW going on. I got a career for you. I got you driving around right now, maybe in a dead-end job. Maybe you don't have a job. Maybe you just got out of the Army, or you just graduated, or you're graduating, and you don't know what you're going to do. There's no offers out there for you. Maybe you're waiting tables. Maybe you are bartending, whatever. I mean, you can make money, obviously making money doing that. And some places you can get a career doing that. But what do you want to do? If you're looking for a career, a high-paying job, retirement planning, insurance, all of those things, it happens at IBEW. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, takes care of our electrical grid. It's huge. 4,800 members. 125 years they've been around. Okay, so it's not like this is some fly-by-night. This is, they got a plan for you, from people from all walks of life. Well, you don't know anything about the electrical grid? That's okay. They'll teach you. And you get paid while you get taught. If you're looking for a career, you want to do something fulfilling, and you want to have something that you can count on in your life, 713-943-0716, IBEW66.com, IBEW66.com, powering careers, powering the future.
Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. With Saver, you earn unlimited 3% cash back on dining, entertainment, and at grocery stores. That's unlimited cash back on ordering takeout from home, or unlimited cash back on tickets to concerts and games. So grab a bite, grab a seat, and earn unlimited 3% cash back with the Saver Card. Capital One, what's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details. This message is brought to you by the Capital One Venture X card. Venture X offers the premium benefits you expect, like a $300 annual Capital One travel credit for less than you expect. Elevate your earn with unlimited double miles on every purchase, bringing you one step closer to your next dream destination. Plus, enjoy access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. The Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.